Take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 20. And if you have an old Scofield, it's on about 193. And let me read that first verse. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity as we gather together. We pray that you'll be with us as we look into thy word. Speak to our heart, Lord. Help us to be blessed and help us to be able to apply some truths to our life that we may be a Christian for you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, chapter 38, 38 years in the wilderness is ended. And of course, in chapter 20, verse 1 to 29, in verse 1 through 9, the failure of the people. In verses 10 to 13, the failure of Moses. And then in verse 14 to 29, we see the failures of brothers. Now, as we look at this, if you knew that we skipped over chapter 18 and 19, our main thrust is really following the wilderness journey and into the land of Canaan. But in those two chapters, in chapter 18, it shows the responsibility of the Levite. It goes into quite detail with that. And in chapter 19, it speaks about the law of purification. But as we're looking here at the journey that they're taking, that would be a study in themselves. But as we come to these chapter 20, we come to the end of the wilderness journey. After 2 years, they arrived at Kadesh Barnea. In chapter 14, they failed, the older generation failed to go into the promised land. And for that, they would have 38 years, counting the 2 years they had before, that would be 40, but 38 years of wandering. We would ask why chapters 14 to 20 is dealing with 40 years in the wilderness. But you know, as you think of this, during that time, the children of Israel were completely out of the will of God. And of course, there's little to tell when they're not giving the glory to God and they're all going in their own sin and their own self. The same thing is true in our life. When we are out of the will of God, out of fellowship with Him, there will be little to tell. There's little, if anything, to accomplish. for the glory of God when we're out of his will. We will see also the death of Miriam and also the death of Aaron. And we'll see the failure of Moses. And also we'll see that last part I mentioned, the 14 to 29, failure of brother. Well, they come to Edom. And, of course, if you think of that, they're wanting to go through their land to go on towards the promised land. But, of course, they failed to let them go. And Edom is really from Jacob's brother Esau. That's where you get the brethren. These were really people that were kin to them to an extent. But let's look at this. We read that first verse, the death of Miriam. Surely, this is in many years Aaron died. Surely in this the same year Aaron also died. In verse 28, according to chapter 33, verse 38, the first day of the fifth month of the 14th year, which leaving Egypt would be 40 years. The last we saw her in chapter 12, where she and Aaron were murmuring against Moses. And of course, 38 years have taken place since they failed to go in. William MacDonald believes that during this time, over 600,000 Jews died. And of course, that would speak mainly of the old generation, the ones that would not go in to the promised land. The older generation from 20 years and above, except for Joshua and Caleb. And we know after this, Moses will not be allowed to go into the land too, as we'll see. Miriam, she did fail when she murmured against the Lord and, of course, against Moses and his leadership. But the Lord had used her mightily. And, of course, she was the one that really saved Moses. Remember, she was the one that took little Moses when he was a baby and put him in that little ark. And, of course, the daughter of Pharaoh claimed the baby and raised the baby. And that was really saved his life. But notice verses 2 and 3. And, of course, also one thing else to say, that really she was used of God. She led the women, speaking of, and there's one place that even speaks of her as a prophetess. Now look at verse 2 and 3. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chided with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Now, the older generation, at this point, they're all passed away, except for Caleb, and of course, the other spies, as well as all the older generation, are dead. The thought here, as you look at this, that you see them murmuring. Now, it wasn't genetically, it wasn't passed on because from their parents because genetically, but of course they had heard them. And of course, if you think of the times that we see that the older generation, that they were always murmuring with God, no telling how many times during that journey of those 38 years that they murmured, and the children, they begin to murmur too, because this is really the children, the younger generation, those that were under 20 years old, that are really at this point. Now notice in verse 4 and 5, and why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord unto this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? Is it not the place of seed? It is no place for seed, or fig, or of the vine, of pomegranates, neither is there water to drink. Now, as you read that, they were complaining too. They had learned a lot from the older generation, their parents. You know, that's really one thing for us to say. Now, most of us here today, our children are raised. We may have grandchildren and great-grandchildren around that are not completely raised. But, you know, how they learn and how we need to be careful. You know, as I say often, being a witness for Christ is not just what you say, it's also how we live. And, of course, as we think of our family, and especially as you think of your children, you know, so often people will go to church, and, of course, we try to act nice at church and all of that, and we get home, And of course, instead of having dinner, we have the preacher and people in the church, and we talk about them and all, and we have them for dinner, you know, as we complain about everything, just like these people. And we need to realize that little eyes are watching us. You know, you can say a lot of things as we raise our children, but a lot has to do with if we're living it before them too. And I would say we as parents need to be awful careful, and grandparents. They left Egypt in one night 40 years before. But you know, even after that time, most of these folks were very young probably at that time that they left. Some of them may have been born after that time. But you know, they heard so much from their parents, they were really complaining. Why didn't we stay in Egypt? Now notice verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their face, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Now Moses and Aaron, there's one thing at this point, though, they still knew who to go to. It looks like the people would have learned, too, to go to the Lord as well. Now, Moses has been doing this for 40 years since the departure from Egypt, as well as 40 years here in the desert. And, of course, he's heard a lot of complaining, and he's heard the people murmur and over, a message that we need to learn, too, today, from membership to leadership, that we cannot do it in the flesh, the work of the Lord. And of course, we need his help. But you know, we'll see what happens here that even Moses fails. Now notice verse 8 and 9. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Now, as you look at this, a very important instruction. The people should have been on their knees asking God's forgiveness for their sins and their unbelief. But Moses and Aaron, they came before the Lord. They did the right thing there. Spiritual leaders pay a price serving the Lord and the people, God's people, and so often are not appreciated by the people. And of course, we have to say that with Moses, because every time something would happen, they were blaming Moses for it. And Moses, he's just the one that's really sharing with them what God is saying. But there are different instructions for Moses here to heed. For there is a major message of Messiah and his payment for our sins on the cross. 1 Corinthians 10:4 that we'll look at in just a minute. Many believe that the rod that was to be taken was really the rod that budded. Now it speaks here of the rod. Evidently he had the rod that he had in his hand. But it was to be used, not the rod of Moses here that was for judgment, but the other one. But we don't know. That's just speculation by many teachers. But remember, too, before he struck the rock in Exodus 17, if you remember that the rock which spoke of Christ, and we'll look at chapter 10, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians in a minute, but it was to be done before the people so they will see and realize it is the Lord that gave it. But let me read just verses 5 through 7 of Exodus to take us back to when the first time this happened. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on the people and take with thee the elders of Israel, and the rod, there thou smotest the river, take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us not? Now, as you read that, Many believe that this really, there's a very big story here, and we'll look at this as we look at these two scriptures. Water in the Bible, you know, there's a lot of things that we see. Water is sometimes speaking of, you can address it with the Word of God. And of course, as the Word of God speaks of cleansing in Ephesians 5:26, also we know water sometimes is really used to illustrate the Holy Spirit, such as John chapter 7, verse 37 through 38. Because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, you and I today, we all have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And it happens every believer has the Spirit within them. But notice the failure of Moses here. Verse 10 and 11. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, now notice, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch. Now notice those words, must we. Not must God. But he's saying this and he's angry. And he's even saying, as if it depends upon him, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Now this should say something of his anger. Moses is spoken of all through this, chapter 12, verse 3, that he's the meekest. And of course the same thing is said about Christ. Meekness doesn't mean weakness. It really speaks of strength under control. The best quality that he's known for is what he failed at here. Now, I'm sure as the people murmured with unbelief, and over, as here, he's being blamed, and of course he's probably getting tired of it. All the times in Exodus, as we studied, as well as Numbers, with little to say, no telling how much that happened during those 38 years that really are not covered, but I'm sure it happened many times over while they're on the wilderness journey. And of course, as we mentioned before, as one has said, that he thinks during that time, those 38 years, that there were probably 600,000 of those people that died of the older generation. Whatever the cause, Moses did not honor or obey the Lord. How anger can hinder us in our walk with the Lord and serving others. He exalts himself and fails to give God the glory, calling them rebels. And then he says, we, not God here, we must give you water. He disobeys the command by striking the rock twice instead of speaking to it, an evidence of unbelief and pride on his part. I'm reminded when one prays in the service, you know, oftentimes you can hear some people pray, and you wonder, are they talking to God, or are they trying to give a message to the people? You know, we have to be careful with that. But, you know, Moses, he's taking upon himself here and all. But notice verses 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Now, one has said that strong judgment on Moses and Aaron. But you know, as James tells us in James 3:1 and Luke 12:48, leadership will be judged with more severity. It comes with their responsibility. We have said before, this is very important to future generations as well as in that day. The Old Testament is filled with many types or examples that when you get to the New Testament and some of the apostles will bring out in their writings about there was really a message given in the Old Testament that really ties with what's happened in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, let me read those verses, well, really 1 to 6. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, I read this before when we came to the first instance, this. And were all baptized with Moses. Now, like when we got to that before, I mentioned that. You'll find out the word baptism is really a word, I'm told by Greek scholars, that really it's a word in the Greek that can't be connected with a word, one word in the English. And right here, it's surely not saying they've been baptized unto Moses. The word baptism here means identified. You have the same thing in Romans 6, where a lot of people will use that, where it says we're baptized with Christ. The word in the Greek is not talking about water baptism, but it's translated that way. But it really means we're identified with him, and that's really what it's saying here. They were identified with Moses, unto in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock is Christ. Now, what we have here is really Paul is bringing out in the New Testament that this was really a type that was shown in the Old Testament, that that rock spoke of Christ. And, of course, notice verse 5 and 6. But with many of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were eye example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they had lusted. Really and truly, what you have here, that rock, the first time he said to strike the rock, and that is really a picture of Jesus' crucifixion. He died for our sins. But as you go a little further too, and notice it's a picture of Christ who died on the cross for our sins. And once again too, in Hebrews chapter 10, notice verse 11 through 14. And every priest daily ministereth and offered oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. Now it speaks about the Old Testament priests. They would offer offerings over and over and over. And every year, the high priest would go in with an offering for the sins of the people. Verse 12, but this man, speaking of Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What is happening here is really, this is really an illustration from the Old Testament. It was speaking of Christ. Now, of course, God went ahead and gave them water, but he's holding Moses guilty of this. He didn't follow him. In verse 13 of this chapter that we're looking at, Numbers, this is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel stove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Now, this, of course, here he used the word Meribah, and he also used the word also before. Here Meribah speaks of really quarreling with God. But here it is their testing. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 through 29, Moses tells us, and of course sometimes you can see, and of course we've done this before, sometimes you can look in Deuteronomy in some of those books where Moses would verify more than what we're given here. But, of course, Moses tells us that he begged the Lord at Pisgah that he would allow him to go in. But the Lord would not allow Moses to go in. And at Mount Pisgah, and he tells Moses that he'll be able to see the land before he dies. Also, as said before, the water for drinking is a type of the Holy Spirit, which after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he sent the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within believers today. John 7, verse 37 to 39. He's the comforter. Now bear with me. Here's another one of these long scriptures here in verse 14 to 22 as we see the failure of the brothers. Now notice, and Moses sent message to Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all travel that hath befallen us, how our father went into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt as a long time. and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when he cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy brother. Let me pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand or to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with swords. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of the water, then I will pay for it. I will only without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with the people with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through the borders. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. Now, as you look at this, the failure of the brother. Moses asked the king of Edom for passage. I've often wondered that some of these nations thought of Israel as they were traveling through, and especially during that 38 years as they were in the wilderness, were aware of what has happened. Remember Jericho. And remember when they did come into Jericho that the people feared them because they had heard what happened, especially what happened in Egypt when the whole thing began when they left. Moses sent messengers to the king asking for passage over that is known as the king's highway. You know, you often hear that. You hear a lot, the king's highway. Well, that evidently is where it comes from, which was the shortest route for them to travel. This was a trade route in that day. Now, as I said before, what does he call them, a brother? Well, Edom, the Edomites, are really from Esau. And if you remember back, Esau and Jacob, they were both brothers. And, of course, Edom came from Esau, and, of course, from Jacob came the nation of Israel. They were brethren, but they would not let them pass through. Now, Obadiah, he speaks a little of this later when Jerusalem was attacked by Edom. They aided the enemies. When Obadiah speaks of when Jerusalem was attacked, Edom gave them help in that place. And they took another direction to Mount Hor, where we will see the death of Aaron. One thing puzzles me. Where is the cloud? Remember, the cloud spoke of Christ, really, that he was leading me. And so we don't see the cloud leading him at this time. But, you know, it may just not be mentioned. But is Moses taking upon himself here to that he leading him? As he tells them that we'll give you water? Now notice verses 23 to 29. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments. Now, of course, this is speaking of the garments of the priest. And put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto the people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up unto Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of the garment, and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for him 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Now, the high priest. And, of course, we do not know for sure where this Mount Hor is. But it is very close, evidently, to where the Edomites were, and, of course, by water. Moses and Aaron and his son Eleazar go up to the mountain. Aaron's death takes place, and his son becomes the high priest. Now, we know this is the end of the wilderness journey, Numbers 33, verse 38 and 39. And he is 123 years old. And, of course, he's a little older than Moses. From that point forward, the priesthood would pass from one to another, from the men or barn and die. And remember last time when Korah, he was really a lot, when he was trying to really question Moses, he was really wanting to take his folks to be the priest. You know, that's where all that was, God was trying to prove to them that it was from Aaron would come the high priest. But our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, he ever liveth. And he's open to us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. He has an open ear to us. Moses also did not go into the people, with the people into the promised land. But we do know that he did appear with Elijah on Mount Transfiguration, if you remember in the New Testament. And, of course, Jesus, Peter, James, and John were there when Jesus was transfigured before them. But, you know, as you think of this, there's a lot that's going down that we go through. We see the importance of the complete obedience to the Lord. Moses is just as human as we are. He's a man of God, God used, but he's still a human being just like we are. We see leadership is held to a higher standard than the folks here. God went ahead and gave them the water. Now, God did judge them at times, of course, as all. But I am sure that Moses had been taken advantage of by the people unnumbered times, over and over. And, of course, we weren't even told what happened there in the 38 years there when they finished those 40 years in the desert. I've said this before. After a pastor, I never realized the factor here. He allows a moment of anger to cause him to be exalted himself, and he failed to glorify the Lord and disobeyed the Lord and marred the type or picture. And, of course, Paul brings that out, as we saw in the scripture, that those rocks, the first time, was really, it's speaking of Christ, that rock. That was Christ. And there he told him to strike the rock. And it was really a picture, what Paul is telling us there, that it's really a picture of Christ's death. But the second time, the rock, it speaks of Christ. He would only be crucified one time. You know, the high priest, over and over and over, they had to offer up sacrifice. But really, most all of Hebrews 10, if you go through that, that it speaks about how the priest had to do it over and over and over. But Christ, once and for all, he did away with it. And, of course, that happened. But, of course, that was the illustration, and you see often types that you see in the New Testament will bring out that you see in the Old Testament. Have you come to this fountain for the living water and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He will cleanse you and give you the Holy Spirit of God to lead you, as well as, of course, the Word of God. And believers, we've received the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word of God who's to help us. Are we allowing sin to come between us and the Holy Spirit of God? You know, that's really what Moses, as he took it upon himself, he ordered sin and not even giving God the credit for what was taking place. It's time to set things right. You know, we always like to close with the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Friend, no one can say, oh, I'm going to work my way to heaven. That's just like in Sunday school where we're talking in the book of Galatians there as we begin a new study. That really, the fact is that man can't add any works at all to himself as far as salvation goes. Now, once you trust Christ your Savior, he wants you to work and to serve him. But salvation is by grace and grace alone. And, of course, in a sense, what man often does, he said, Well, I can work my way. Friend, you can't. You're a sinner. And just as we've also seen in Galatians as we begin that study, that really and truly many of the Jews, they called them Judaizers, were holding on to really the law. But as we saw this morning in our Sunday school, that really, that Paul made it clear that really and truly, when you add anything at all to what Christ did, it ends up works. And in Romans 3:20, that if you add any, the law or any kind of thing, the law was never given to save anyone. It was given to show us that we're sinners. You know, when you look through the Old Testament law, what you see is there's no way I can keep it. There's no way I can work my way to heaven. And, of course, that's what God wants us to see, and that's what in Romans 3:20 Paul is saying. By the works of the law is no man receives salvation. But we have to realize the fact we're all sinners. That's the first thing to realize. But then next we need to realize, like John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you put your faith in Christ, you're not putting it in anything that you can do. Lord, there's nothing in the world I can do. But I know you paid the price fully. When you died for my sins, you were buried, you rose again. I know I can't do anything, but I'm going to put my whole trust in you and only you. And when you trust what he did, you receive salvation. He saves you. And, of course, he saves you completely. And, of course, as Christians, we've already trusted Christ as our Savior. But there's oftentimes, just like Moses, that we let sin into our life as he sinned and did wrong. And, of course, when he did, he was still a believer. But he suffered the consequence. He didn't go into the promised land. Now, you and I, when you trusted Christ your Savior, you're his son. You're his daughter. You're truly saved, and you're going to make it. But oftentimes when we allow sin in our life, we break that close fellowship with him. And you don't lose your salvation because that's safe and secure in Christ. But, you know, at that point, it tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we realize, Lord, I've sinned, I've done wrong, and we confess it to him, renew that close fellowship, and he'll renew that close fellowship. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose that closeness with him. And I'm going to tell you, if you're walking close with him, you're going to sense it in your life when that happens. But, you know, as we think of this, as we think of our Lord, and how wonderful he is, as he made the way of salvation for us. He died, he paid the price. But my friend, he rose from the grave and never more to be put to death. The debt's paid, but we have to receive it personally. Now those that are here, I know have received Christ as their Savior, but as it goes over to the internet, if someone may not. Let's bow our head just for a moment if you're here. And maybe God's speaking to your heart about something. It may have nothing to do with salvation. But if we can pray with you and help you, we'd love to do that. And then we'll close in prayer.